This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. Usually, no, when we hear
that's
this,
the only one I've heard so far.
Drew hits the button, and it means that there's a new mock draft out somewhere. I have not seen this.
Hey, where's this from?
Where
Drew?
Are we going?
So this, we are going to Pro Football Network, who came out with one over the weekend. I thought it was interesting because It is our first. It's technically a seven rounder, but we're only doing the first four rounds. We're doing
seven rounds.
And four. It's a little bit early. But this one, again, from Pro Football Network, I think this is really interesting because it addresses some of the needs, some of the position groups that we've talked about here over the last couple of weeks. So round one, they do have them taking an offensive lineman. It's Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon.
At pick 31?
Yes.
No.
This is a guy. Hang on. This is a guy. I'm not going to try to convince you it's a good pick. He played almost all but maybe 5 to 7 snaps at left tackle. He has all the experience in the world. They're graded out very well, played at Oregon. You're going up against stiff competition. Not that Kingsley wasn't, but you're going against the Big Ten. You're going against JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer at Ohio State, who is, you know, those guys are going to be.
Are those good players?
Those are going to be really good picks in the first or second round. So he's used to going up against good competition. Again, though, to your guys' point, it's a left tackle at 31. He doesn't seem like a project as much because he has almost 1,000 total snaps at left tackle in college.
Why the hell is he not going 18? What the hell's wrong with him? I'll just be honest. If he's so good, I just went through this whole thing about where left tackles who succeed. If he's so good, why the hell is he going 31? He should be going 13.
Cody, that's because he needs to improve his play strength and play bigger. He lacks kind of that pace, you know, to collect linebacker on workup blocks. And really, he has trouble anchoring against speed to power rushes. Rushers, that's really the problem for him. He fits the part, though.
Arm length?
6'4", 315. We don't know the arm length yet. That's the combine this week, Cody. Mm. We got to wait for them to measure those arms here in a couple days.
He allowed one sack in 2023, one sack in 2024.
He may end up.
I hated it at 31.
It's just more of the idea that I don't believe they can find a starting left tackle at 31. That's all it is. But this kid, might, I mean, when 6'4", 315, if you compare him with Kingsley, like he looks like a left tackle. I'll give you that. Yeah. But okay, where else in the mock draft?
Okay, so second round, Elik Iomanor from Stanford, wide receiver. Now, this is the thing about this guy. The reason why I think he's not as high up in the draft is because Stanford was not very good when he was there in college. He is the big target, that sort of a player
big
that we've been talking
receiver.
About.
Gold likes that.
So he's 6 foot two, a little bit bigger, but he if you look at his highlight reel, he makes some ridiculous catches. Quarterback play, not as good at Stanford as he would have with Patrick Mahomes, of course, but
I'm always impressed when there's a wide receiver with a 6 in front of their number that Andy's looking at.
He was the guy at Stanford and still made big time plays. Okay. So I think that's something that a lot of people might actually end up
liking.
So
offense.
Red flag. Here's the red flag, Drew.
Oh, what is that?
Knee injury, ACL, MCL, meniscus, 2022.
I mean, who hasn't torn those?
You know?
That might be part of
Rashee Rice qualifies under that now, you know?
This one I'm a little bit, so we get to the third round, a little bit interested in this one. Elijah Arroyo, he's a tight end from Miami.
So tight end again?
He's athletic.
Another three? Offense?
So I think with Jared Wiley, it was more of the blocking side of things. Like, he's a bigger guy where this is vertical passing game threat. Of course, played with Cam Ward, where they threw the ball all over the yard. That one's interesting. And then Quinshon Judkins.
Rice
round
with
three.
Rice, essentially, you know, because his last name's Arroyo. Okay. Pair up the Rices.
Okay.
Only you. Only you. Only you.
Oh, no good?
Only you.
Okay. No
okay.
good?
Yeah, okay.
I'm digging deep uh-huh. for my draft
yeah.
analysis.
And by the way, the Arroyo pick was the Titans' third rounder that they get from the
Sneed
trade. Their third round pick originally that they have goes to Quinshon Judkins, running back out of Ohio State. Obviously a guy
that
is...
I like that.
...addressing any... He plays more like Pacheco's style than... Like, he's quick and he's fast and everything. His 40 time will be interesting to see.
All right.
At the combine.
What's the last one?
Danny Stutzman, linebacker from Oklahoma.
Ooh. So
this dude, he played.
Wait, you actually know who this player is?
I do.
He has game reps. The man played all 4 years. He was a stud.
Quickly before Alex gives his real opinion.
Oh, boy.
Danny Stutzman's a good linebacker name.
It is. Very good.
And I think that's important sometimes for a linebacker. I think it's important to have a good linebacker name. Usually a pretty good indicator that you're good at the position. Danny Stutzman, that sounds like a linebacker.
No, so I actually like this for the round it fits and everything. Round four, here's your Nick Bolton replacement.
Yep.
He's very similar. You're not going to love the coverage skills.
He's a thumper.
I actually did watch him play, believe it or not. Not a great coverage guy.
Very good in the run game.
But he is awesome in the run, and what is Nick Bolton great at? He's a thumper, and he's good in the run. This, to me, is your Nick Bolton replacement, so I would not hate this pick at all, as long as they don't get any higher than round four.
Do any of us think that they're going offense for the first four picks in the NFL draft? Their first, second, and two-thirds all on offense.
I think they'll be offense heavy. I don't know about if they go four for four, but I think it'll be a majority of offensive players in the draft.
I would be shocked they didn't take a defensive lineman or a corner before then.
I was going to say, I think defensive line, that one I'm a little bit surprised on, and who knows, maybe it didn't fit or whatever. It was interesting, though. Quinshon Judkins, you want to guess at his comp. There were no comps for anybody else that I could see on the NFL draft profile. Joe Mixon for Quinshon Judkins.
Be a good fit.
A guy that was really good. He was really good in the run game, didn't catch too much. That was more Travion Henderson side of things. At Ohio State in particular, at Ole Miss, they hadn't quite gotten into, you know, having Jackson Dart yet and throwing the ball around. But his ability to affect in the passing game, he got better at Ohio State with Will Howard, but he's hard to bring down. I think he's close to, like, Scadaboo in terms of size, leg strength. I mean, Quinshon Judkins is that guy.
From a talk radio perspective, great draft, right? You get a tackle, a wide receiver, and a tight end, and a running back.
I think he would take this.
They would expect to be immediate contributors. No, I'll just be honest. If I were an NFL GM, I'd have just a couple of rules, especially if I already had my star quarterback. Let's just say I'm a GM of a team that already has quarterback figured out. I am never going to have three picks in the first three rounds and not take someone on the defensive line, ever. That is a 100% rule for me. I am always taking a defensive lineman with one of my first three round picks. I'm not getting into a draft without trying to do that. And some of it's just a numbers game, right?
I mean,
maybe it doesn't work out for Felix
for
and just another
the draft
lineman.
I would be a little bit surprised if they didn't take one in round three with one of those picks.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised they don't take one of the first four picks or whatever. But I also think we should expect this to be an offensive heavy draft. We've all discussed it's the weaker, but you look at the capital they have spent, whether it's draft capital or actual capital spent, it's been defense heavy the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say they didn't draft Rice and Worthy, of course.
Taylor.
But they really have put more of their resources on the defensive side of the ball. It's time for a correction back the other way. And so I think a majority, let's say they end up only having the six picks that they have in their back pocket right now. Six total draft picks. I believe that it would not surprise me four or five of them are offensive players. Now, I also think they won't end up drafting six. One way, it'll either be more or less. Like I don't think they're sticking with six. You'll either acquire more picks by trading down. Or they're going to utilize multiple picks to trade up.
But last year, their first three picks were offense, offense, offense. So just as a reminder, their first, second, and fourth round picks, which are their first three picks on the board, were all offense. They then only spent two picks on defense last year. Jaden Hicks and Kamal Hayden. I don't even remember them taking him. But when you like, those are the two that they took. The year before, it was far, far, far more defense. They only took two offensive players, Wanya Morris and Rashee Rice. And so, like, I guess the year before that, it was all defense. So it was 2 years of all defense. Last year was way more offense. Do they go another year of way more offense?
I think it's very watching.
I think it's way more their problems are.
Yeah, watch the team. I would say yes. You know. Absolutely.
Well, and also, the final pick, the sixth pick that he has them taking, he does have them taking a defensive lineman from Georgia in the seventh round.
Well, seventh round. I don't need to know.
I know.
I mean, Georgia defensive linemen are pretty good in the NFL.
I was just throwing that in there.
Round seven, I'm out on the mock draft. Round seven, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm surprised you aren't out earlier.
Yeah.
Round six,
Stutzman might be the only round
Stutzman's
four
a good pick.
Stutzman might be the only round four pick you'll bring up ever during these mock draft centers that I'll actually know who the hell it is. Unless it's like a local kid. You know, you tell me.
I mean, if it's Devin Neal, sure. Something.
But yeah, no, actually, yeah. Truly, I think they will draft a linebacker. Like, I really, in the first four or five rounds, because I think they will do that. That's where they've typically built the linebacking core. You know, if you look at who's in the line, even if Nick Bolton is not back, like, that means I wouldn't want them to go sign a free agent linebacker. I would rather them just spend the third or fourth round pick, go get a rookie to start right away. That's what they did with Bolton and Willie Gay. And that was a COVID year. That's why the progression, they already had Anthony Hitchens, so it took a little longer for them to finally flip him.
I do think this is interesting. They do have Will Howard going to the Jets. I don't know if he'd have success there, but yeah, be interesting.
What round?
Third round.
Yeah, his stock went up after the performance he had throughout the college football playoff.
Third round, that's way higher than I ever thought he was going to go. I had questioned at times at K-State if he was a pro quarterback.
Oh, he was probably going
sixth round.
I bet he would have gone at the earliest.
He had a great college football playoff.
Fifth or sixth round if he'd have just gone.
Yeah,
why is Jackson Dart flying up though? Why does everyone keep mentioning him to me?
I think it's
darting up. Is that what you're saying, Cody?
I guess.
Pun intended.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. I think it'll be.
I keep mine to rice puns only.
Uh-huh. I think it's because his style of play. It's him and Jalen Milroe are the question as to who's going to be picked third in terms of the quarterbacks in this draft. I think Jackson Dart, for what he did at Ole Miss, where he was very effective, dual threat guy, he had good weapons, not the greatest at Ole Miss. Also, I think he paints a better picture than what Jalen Milroe has over the course of his career.
I just want to see how much
in comparison with each other.
How much shift do we have across all these mock drafts and all the narrative stuff? Because starting on Thursday, all the combine stuff happens.
They'll run and jump.
Yeah, and then you get a lot of quarterbacks aren't going to throw, and they're going to save it for their pro day. More and more are doing that now.
Shador's doing the pro day thing.
Yeah, which is that's not that unusual anymore.
They have Burden going to the Steelers, by the way, in the first round. Which would not be fun.
Ooh, like the next Plexico Burris or something. Okay. Minus the off-the-field stuff.
Ideally. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't want to shoot yourself in the leg at a New York club.
Speaking of the combine, his whole week is really big because he could stay where he's at 20 or in the late 20s, or he could
run a slow. But if he runs a slow 40, he could slip down in the low first.
For sure.
I wonder if people fall in love with his athleticism again. It wasn't a great year. But if he runs a 4-4,
it's like, okay, this dude might be teens or top 10 again.
Because right now some people think he's going to fall to 22 or something. And that just seems...
Steelers are at 21.
Okay, yeah. Like I think ultimately he still goes in that 14 to 16 range, but we'll see.
Of course, they have Genty going to the Cowboys too. Which is no surprise. Everybody has him going to Dallas.
Which is why, obvious. Like, it's kind of just faded. There's just no way it's that obvious.
Well, there's a lot of teams that won't take a running back that early, and the Cowboys are not one of those teams. and their head coach now, Brian Schottenheimer, he's willing to lean on the run way more. He's old school.
He should.